Ready? Okay, today is the 17th of November, and I think it was the 20. What is it? 27th of Cheshvan, I think. Okay, and we are going to do Kaf Zayin in Shmuel Aleph. We're really gonna finish Shmuel Aleph. Like at some point, we can see the light at the end of the
Are you recording?
tunnel. Yeah. Well, oh, you want me to stop?
No.
So Shmuel Aleph Perek Kaf and it's very boring. But then after this, it's going to be very, very exciting, almost a little too exciting. Necromancy, among other things. Okay, so let's start. So we're gonna read along. We'll go back and forth to the commentary to understand it. Let's look at the map. On the back of, so I tried to find a Jewish map. I couldn't find one. This is obviously not a Jewish map. If you see the kingdom, you see Judah down here, and you see, it's interesting to see the kingdom of Saul and where it reached to or didn't. And then you see Ammon and Moab, and the Amalekites are still there, and then Philistia, the Plishtim. And in the Plishtim territory, if you see Ziklag, that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And then also just knowing being aware of the Amalekites and Edom and Moab all around the area of Yehuda. So that is what we're going to be referencing. Okay. So let's start. Vayomer David al libo, Ata espet Yom echad biyad Sha'ul, ein li tov ki imaleit el eretz plishtim, v'no'ash bimani Sha'ul levakshini od b'chol gvul Yisrael, v'nimlatzi miyado. Okay, so David said to his heart, this is an expression of one talking to himself, now I will, it'll be the end of me if I have one more day in the hand of Sha'ul. So even though Sha'ul again had a moment of lucidity, and said he would never harm David again. David just can't be sure, and he doesn't trust him. And to the point where he feels he actually has to leave Eretz Yisrael. And this is what was referenced when he's yelling out to the camp of Sha'ul, when he has the sword and the water bottle, you're forcing me to worship other gods. And I didn't include this last week, but there are some very interesting mefarshim on how religious you can actually be outside of the land of Israel. And they really do say anything outside of the land of Israel is like avodah zarah. And there is a notion, I think it's the Ramban, that whatever we're doing, mitzvot, in outside the land of Israel, is just practice for when we're actually in Israel or when Mashiach comes. It's unclear, the status of it now. So David is forced to leave, which is one of the most difficult things for him and his love for Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I don't, there's no good. There's nothing better than if I escape, or if I surely escape, to the land of the Plishtim. Then Sha'ul will have Yeush from me. He'll despair. He'll give up trying to seek me, because in all of the borders of Israel, and I will have escaped from his hand. So if you remember, in the wars with the Plishtim, in Goliath, in different things, Sha'ul would just kind of sit there. He had this kind of terrified sense of the Plishtim that he couldn't overcome, and he couldn't make himself go to war, and it was always somebody else who initiated it and succeeded in defeating the Plishtim. So David feels safe going into land of the Plishtim that Sha'ul's not gonna, he's gonna give up on him.
Stacey, at the very end of the last chapter, there was a scene with David and Sha'ul talking to one another, and David was saying that he had gone and taken his sword and his water flask, and Sha'ul says, "Chatati, I have sinned," and there's a reconciliation, and we're not sure what to make of it. And this is next,
Right.
that David is saying to himself, I'm gonna die by Sha'ul's hand. I better go into enemy territory to avoid this."
Yeah.
Do you have a thought as to, you know, David's takeaway from this last scene of why it seems so dire to him despite the last chapter.
So I think I've been describing these moments of Sheol as moments of lucidity, mm-hmm. which, again, I don't really feel comfortable, like, in terms of Sheol's mental state, describing it or diagnosing it or anything like that. But I think David says, okay, I'm glad he can acknowledge this now, but what's going to happen in another minute? Not to mention the people Sheol is surrounded by mm-hmm. and their attitude towards David and their attitude towards power also. Like, Sheol can admit to whatever he wants, but if he were to just relinquish his kingship, then the people around him, you know, are like, what are you doing? This is our job. This is our power. So it's not so simple.
But David takes from it that it is still a dire situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to see how he spins his stay in Gath to the king. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the last time he went to Plishtim territory? After the whole Nov, and he has Goliath's sword, and he walks in by himself, like, frantic, and then he realized that was the stupidest thing he could have done, and he acts insane, and then the king says, I have enough insane people in my own house, why do I need another one? and they release him, they let him go, so we're going to deal with, like, why is he going Dafka there? Okay, and how David handles it. Okay, good questions. So Bet Vayakam David Vayavorahu Vesheshmaot Ish Asherimo El Achish Ben Maoch Melech Gat. So David then gets up, and he and his 600 men that are with him go to pass on to Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gat. Okay, so now there's actually a question among the Mefarshim if this is even the same king. If it's a new king or if it's the same king. So there are some people say the reason he could go is because it's a new king, and even though he has the same name of Achish, we also saw before, actually this week's Parsha, Avimelech in Grar, also Plishtim territory. If you remember, there was a Perek of Tehillim where David called the king Avimelech, actually the last time he went to Achish, and there was a notion that Rashbam said, I think it might be on this week's parsha, I'm not sure, that Avimelech was the name of the king, like Paro is the name of the king of Mitzrayim, or Malkit Tzedek, that Tzedek was always the name of the king in Yerushalayim. So it could be that notion that Achish isn't his proper name.
So much time has passed between the previous visit and this visit.
Oh, that's a good question. Again, not much time, and we're going to have some more weird chronology stuff here, but because according to, like, the mainstream midrashic viewpoint of Sheol, he only reigned for 2 years, but that's not really accepted in a pshat level, because how could he have accomplished all that in 2 years?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that much, it hasn't been that much time, and David's been escaping that whole time, he's been on the run. If you remember,
yeah,
that was the beginning.
And he's still the crazy guy.
Yeah, so that's what you say. So now, let's look at Radak on the other side. He's going to explain why, how this could possibly be that he could go back there. So Radak el Achish ben Ma'och Melech Gat, Yesh Lishol, there is to ask, Hech halach alav, how could he have gone to him? Vehu haya kvar b'sakana imo'ad sheet palel v'nimlat misham. He was already in danger there until he davened and he was saved from there. V'yesh l'faresh, so we can explain. Ki b'pam ha'hi, at that time, the first time, haya David levado, David was all by himself, v'hit na'ker sham, and he wasn't recognized there. U'kishara'a sheheki ruhu, but when he saw that they actually recognized him, pachad, he was afraid. Avalata, but now, ba b'shesh ma'ot ish, he came with 600 men. V'kodem shenichnas legat, and even before he went to Gat, shalach le'achish ki hitba'esh b'sha'ol uve'amo, that he sent to Achish that he had become disgusting to Sha'ul and to his nation. V'im yirtze yeshev imo hu ve'anshav, and if he wanted to, if it were his will, he would go settle with him and with his people, ve'yazruhu lehilachem b'Yisrael, and he would help him to fight against Israel. And we're going to see how David manages to make it appear like he's fighting against Israel, but really he's fighting for Israel. Ve'hodio etzmo ki hu David, and he announced himself as David. Ve'achish kablu v'shalom v'yashev imo. And Achish accepted him in peace, and he sat with him. Okay, so it answers some of our questions, and as we go through, we'll see more questions answered. Ve'yashev David im Achish. So David sat with Achish, begat, and got hu ve'anshav. He and his men, ish veto, each man and his whole household. So these men, they're really like political refugees at this point. It's not just the men, but it's their entire households. And look who else, David Ushtei Nashav. David and his two wives, Achinoam ha-Yisraelit ve'Avigal Eshet Naval ha-Karmelit. So we learned all about Avigal. I tried to find out information about Achinoam, and I really couldn't. The only thing, Achinoam has David's firstborn son, Amnon, and Avigal has the second son, and obviously we'll hear more about that firstborn son. It doesn't end well for them. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't, and Achinoam, I think everyone agrees, is a captive wife as well. She was a captive that David fell in love with and made her his wife. Okay, so Dalet veyigad l'Shaul ki barach David gat v'lo yasaf od l'baksho. And it was told to Shaul that David had escaped to Gat, and he no longer went to seek him. And now from this pasuk, I think Rav Bazak mentions this, you get a sense that had it not been for David going to Gat, Shaul would still be seeking him. And David was really right in how he surmised the situation and that he had to leave. Okay, so you can see there's a little paragraph break there. I don't think, no more commentators yet, okay. So, hey, Vayomer David el Achish, Im namatatichin beinecha, yitnuli makom be'achat arei hasadev eshva sham. So David said to Achish, if I found favor in your eyes, please give me one of the cities in the field, like not an urban city, not close to you, somewhere far out, and I'll dwell there. V'lama yeshev avdecha be'ir hamamlecha imcha, imach. Why should your servant dwell in the city, and rule with you, in the royal city with you? I think David's kind of saying, you know, I'm like a leader in Israel, and I don't want anybody to think I'm here for a coup, so why don't you put me in some remote village so there won't be any danger to me or to you? I think he's spinning it that way. Okay, so let's look at the commentary. V'lame yeshev avdecha, why should your servant dwell? Radak. Perush pen eya lecha lemasa. Maybe I'll be a burden to you. I've got 600 men. Why should I be in the royal city? Let me go into this remote village and we'll farm our own food. We'll be self-sufficient and support ourselves. You won't have to worry, and I'll just help you. V'dat David haya kadei shelo yargishu bo b'pashto al hamekamot sheyalo ula anshav ir lahem levadam. So really, it's a little David's being a little wily, because he's saying so that Achish doesn't sense that David really, why does he want to be in this remote village? Again, look at where it is, Ziklag. Because his goal is really to fight off these surrounding enemies of Israel. And he doesn't want Achish to have a sense of what his real goal is. He wants him to think he just doesn't want to be a burden. Okay. So now Vav, Ve'yiten lo Achish b'yom ha'hu et Ziklag, lachen haita Ziklag l'malchei Yehuda ad hayom hazeh. So Achish gave him Ziklag, that's how it is in Hebrew, and therefore Ziklag was to the kings of Judah until this very day. Okay, so now we have some commentaries to read on that. Okay, so the first thing is, this is not the first time we've seen the village of Ziklag. The first time we see it is actually in Yehoshua, and it's one of the cities that was actually conquered by Yehoshua for Yehuda. Because if you, again, look at it on the map, it's really on the border. So this was Judean territory. And let's look at Radak now. So do you see it in Yehoshua? That it's Zot Nachalat Mate B'nei Yehuda L'Mishpachotam. This is the portion of the tribe of Judah into their families. And then it lists them all, and Siklag is listed under there. Okay, so Radak is going to explain even more. L'malchei Yehuda. Afal pi sha'ana ro'im ke be'et kibush ha'aretz haitat Siklag l'B'nei Yehuda. Even though we see in these psukim in Yehoshua that at the time of conquering the land, Siklag was to B'nei Yehuda. Efshar ki al shem sofo nichtava. It's possible that it was written this by its end name. Oh, efshar shekavshu ha'az ve'achrei ken lakchu ha'plishtim mi'adam. Or it's possible that, yes, they conquered it in the days of Yehoshua, but later on the plishtim conquered it from them. U'miyom she'eshav ba'David nisharalo. But from the time that David dwelled there, it remained his. Alkein haitala malchei Yehuda me'ayot hahu umala. And therefore it was to the kings of Judah from that time forward. Lefichach amar l'malchei Yehuda v'lo amar l'Yehuda. And that's why the pasuk says it was to malchei Yehuda, and it doesn't just say that this land was to Yehuda. Okay? So back to the text. So that's the history of Siklag. Zion. Vayhi mispar hayamim asher yishav David b'sadeh plishtim yamim ve'arba chodashim. So it was the number of days that David dwelled in the field of the plishtim, yamim, which usually means days, but actually in last week's parsha Chayisara, when Eliezer wants to take Rivka, Lavan says, let her dwell yamim or asara chodashim. And it would be really weird to give two different options, one of them being just let her stay here a few more days or 10 months. So Rashi there points out that yamim can and does mean year or years in other places, including last week's parsha. And so there's going to be a debate as to what it actually means here. So it doesn't mean that David dwelled in the field of the plishtim for 4 days and a couple months, or for 2 years and 4 months. And I say 2 years because whenever it's in plural, we always take the minimum number that plural means. Okay, so let's read the commentaries on that. We'll see different things. So first, Rashi. And Rashi here is going to reference what I occasionally reference about the weird chronology and how long was Shaul's kingship, really, and how there are different opinions on there. So, Yamim ve'arba chadashim. Mi'ut yamim shanim, shnayim, sorry. The minimum of days is two. V'yif shar lefaresh yamim zeh shana. And according to Rashi, even though he said it in last week's parsha, in this context, it is impossible to explain 2 days as a year. Sheharei lo halach David etzel Achish ad shemit Shmuel. Because David didn't go to Achish until Shmuel had died. V'sha'ul lo malach achar mitat Shmuel ela arba chodashim. And Shaul, his kingship only lasted for 4 months after the death of Shmuel. Kamosha Shaninu b'Seder Olam, as we learn in Seder Olam, and Seder Olam is this midrashic work of all the chronology, starting from Bereishit, and it'll tell you when everything happened. And again, it's a midrashic explanation, and some things, it's where we get, if you've ever heard referenced the years of the Persian kings and the lost 200 years. The whole chronology of Tanakh is a little off, which is good because it means even though we're in 5778 and some people say Mashiach's coming in 6000, there are these weird 200 years that might be lost, so we don't know exactly. Okay. So Vegam minyan shnotav shel Eli ve'asrim shana she'aya Aaron b'kirat yarim harei shishim shana. So, and then he references other dates from the number of Eli's years, because he judged for 40 years, and the 20 years the ark was in Kirat Yarim, which is a total of 60 years. Shishim shana tse mehem chamishim v'shtayim. Take out of this the 52 years of Shmuel. V'shana achat le'iburo, and 1 year of his, by the time she conceived and was pregnant with him, im arba chadashim halalu, which with these 4 months, v'shava shanim shamalach David b'chevron, and the 7 years that David was ruler over Chevron, kodam shehivia ta'aron mikirat yarim, before he brought the ark from Kirat Yarim, nimsa shalom alach Shaul achar mitat Shmuel yoter mi'arba chadashim. So he proves that Shaul only reigned for 4 months after the death of Shmuel. So therefore, David's stay in Gat had to have been 4 months and a couple of days, and not 4 months and 2 years. But now, look at Mitzudat Tzion, right underneath it, Yamim, Shana, one word. It's on the very bottom of that page.
Yeah,
so he disagrees. And then the Malbim, next page, Yamim, Ratzon Lomar, Begat Yashav Yamim Achadim, Ubetziklag Yashav Arba Chadashim. So Malbim tries to find a compromise solution. He says he was only in Gat for a couple days, but he was in Tziklag for 4 months. Ve'al ken hikdim yamim lechadashim. And that's why the pasuk references first the days and then the months, which is a little unusual. Okay, so you see there's debate. Rashi tries to prove through the chronology, the timeline, that it had to have been days. Sudat Tzion seems comfortable with it being a year. So again, we have weird chronology in this whole story. Okay, so Zion. We did that. Chet. Vayal David v'anshav v'yifshetu el hagishuri v'hagizri v'hamalaki kihena yoshvot ha'aretz asher me'olam bo'ach ha'shura v'ad eretz Mitzrayim. So David went up and his men, and they fought the Geshuri and the Gizri and the Amalaki, because they were dwelling in the land who were of old, as you go to Shur, even to land of Egypt. So again, just to reference your map, it doesn't mention these other peoples, but they were also there. And being in Siklag gave David easy access to them. And so really he's fighting the enemies of the B'nai Israel. Okay. And I don't have anything there, so... Okay. No, we can't do that yet. Okay, so Tet v'hika David et ha'aretz v'lo yechaya ish v'isha. So David smote the land and he didn't allow to live man or woman. V'lachach son u'bakar v'chamarim u'gmalim u'begadim v'yashav v'yavol achish. So he would take the sheep and the cattle and the donkeys and the camels and the clothes, and he would return and bring it to Achish. Let's look at, we're going to get to that Radak soon. It's really important, but let's just look at the Malbim on this pasuk. Below Yechaya, he didn't let them live. Ritzon lomar, lo hachya min hashavi lavadim l'shvachot. He didn't take any captives to be slaves or maidservants. Kamoshi omar achareza, as we'll see after that. Rak v'lekach tona bakar v'yashav. He just took all these animals and clothing, and he returned. Perish v'tamid be'et sheshav haya ba'al achish la'gidlo. He would always come and tell Achish. Okay, yod. Bayomer achish al pshat tam hayom. So Achish said, it's translated either as, you could say, didn't you fight today? Meaning, of course you fought. Or al, and this is the Egyptian hieroglyphics I was telling you about, can be an, lamed and nun can switch, and le'an, where did you fight today? Where did you conquer today? Where did you raid today, it says. Vayomer David, and David responded, al negev Yehuda, ve'al negev ha'yirach me'eli, ve'al negev ha'kini. So David gave these vague descriptions, the south of Yehuda, the south of the Rachmieli, and the south of the Keni. So you can see the Kenites are listed there on the map. And Amalekites, you can see. So he's sort of giving these geographic locations. And let's look at the Malbim. So Yud, Vayomer Achish Shalu Bitzmiya. So Malvim takes the explanation that he asked as a question. Al Peshatzitam Hayom, you didn't raid today? Hello Bivadai Peshatzitam, of course you raided. V'haya Mashiv Kimasiach Lefitumo. And he would respond in as pure a way as possible. Al Negev Yehuda, the south of Yehuda. Sheyachshov Achish ki nivash b'Yisrael. So that Achish would think that David was disgusted with Israel and he was fighting his own people. Okay. Yud Aleph. V'ish v'isha lo yichaya David lehavi gat. But he didn't let any man or woman live to bring to God. Lemor, saying, this is what he said to himself. Pen yagidu aleinu lemor ko asa David v'ko mishpato. David thought if he brought back captives, that they would say about them, this is what David did, and this was his way of doing things all the days that he dwelt in the field of the Plishtim. Okay, and then let's just finish it. Vayamein Achish b'David. Achish believed in David. Lemor hav'esh hiv'ish b'amo. He is surely hated, he's disgusted with his people. This is something I could have brought in. After Moshe and Aaron speak to Paro, this is the word that is used about how Paro feels about the Jewish people when he adds more straw and he doesn't let them collect, when he doesn't let them collect the straw. It's a similar word, to be disgusted. It means like stink, literally means to stink. V'haya li le'eved olam, and he'll be a servant to me forever. So Achish thinks he has this great ally, somebody to do his dirty work for him, and who better than a Jew himself to do it all?
Stacy, yeah. Excuse me. When Cain kills Havel, what is the word that is used for the? It's not Hivish, is it?
For
the lamb calling to Hashem.
Oh, no, I don't think so. We can look it up.
I feel like there's another, in Breishit, there's another word, another example of that word.
It's called Me'achicha Tzoakim Alai Min Ha'adama. Arur, cursed. Would
I'll have to think of it.
Okay. I don't know.
I need a what's it called?
Concordance.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's finish with the Malbim, and then we'll read this important Radak. So Yud Bet Vayamin Achish b'David, and Achish believed David. Ki Amar Havesh Hivish b'Amo Yisrael, because Achish said he's disgusted with his nation, with Israel. V'tzon lamar sheyitzuyar gilachem im Yisrael v'amo, that he's going to war with Israel and his nation. Shehem shivto yachziko biado, because since they're his shevet, they're strong in his hand. V'tziyar yelachim im shivtolim tzochin be'enei Yisrael bal yomru ki note el shivto. And he imagined that he was fighting with his shevet in order to find... I don't understand this, sorry. Aval achar shenilchem b'Yehuda v'keni shehem b'Yisrael niv'ash b'kulam. Oh, so... At first, he was fighting to find favor in the eyes of Israel, lest they say that he's straying from his tribe. But after he fought with Yehuda and the Canaanim, that they're from Israel, then they were all disgusted. And he'll be my servant forever. Okay, so that just expands on Achish's reasoning. And now we have this important Radak. And this is from Rav Amnon Bazak. So this is a radak from Divrei Hayamim, and this is where David is told that he will not be building the Beis Hamikdash, And the Radak actually relates it to this section where David seems to just be on a killing rampage of all these surrounding peoples. And it seems a little unnecessary, I guess, that he would not let anyone live. There are rationalizations that these were left over from the seven nations that Yehoshua neglected to completely defeat. And so therefore it was okay. But we see from this Radak that that's not universally accepted. Let's just read the English. And when he said, "You have shed much blood upon the earth because there was innocent blood among the blood that he shed." For example, the blood of Uriah. That's going to be in the Bathsheba incident. And this is the meaning of "in my sight." "Also among the blood of the nations which he shed. It is possible that among them were good and pious people. Nevertheless, he was not punished for them, because his intention was to destroy the wicked, that they not strike at Israel, and to save himself when he was in the land of the Plishtim. And so he left neither man nor woman alive." So the Radak does defend him and his actions here, but in terms of the long-term consequences, it's through actions like these that he was not able to build the Beis Hamikdash. So that is Parakaf Zayin.
That's timely with the comparison with Abraham arguing with Hashem to save Sodom and Gomorrah if there were, you know, 50 righteous people. If there were righteous, pious people among the wicked, that there should be an effort to save life.
Yeah, and actually, even more relevant is in the war of the four kings versus the five kings in Parshat Lech Lecha. And right after that is the Brit Ben Abatzarim. And Hashem says to Avram, "Al tira, don't be afraid." And one of the explanations, I think it's Rashi gives, is don't be afraid, even though you went to war and you had to kill lots of people and you might have thought that they were innocent and you used up all your merits as a result of it. Don't worry, there was nobody righteous there. And you did what you needed to do. You did well. So there's a few incidences where that notion comes up of the innocent with the wicked. So in this case, the Radak seems to be saying, as opposed to Sodom and as opposed to the war of the four kings and the five kings, there was some innocent blood, collateral damage, right? Is that what it's called? So it's good to always keep that in mind.